You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com.
After a massive wave of disappearances, 26-year-old CIA analyst Everett Carroll finally believes what he's been told about the biblical prophecy of the rapture. Global currencies have collapsed, famine and plague have claimed the lives of millions, and the world has crumbled into chaos. Seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven vials of God's wrath are about to be poured out upon the earth, and woe to the inhabitants thereof. Buy your copy of The Days of Elijah, Book 1, Apocalypse, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, in paperback or Kindle edition from Amazon.com today.
Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com. Today's guest is John Theo, author of the new book, White Mountain's False Flag. John, welcome back to the show.
Mark, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. It's great to have you on. I guess the first thing we have to do is address the 800-pound gorilla in the room before we can even get into the rest of the show. We had another mass killing today, but this one's topped the death toll of Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, the Orlando shooting, the Dallas shooting, San Bernardino, and 9/11 all combined. Those attacks, of course, you know, killed over 3,000 people, but today's massacre has a current death toll of 3,288. This is truly a dark day for our nation, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, Mark.
And I guess the question that has to be on everybody's mind right now is, what could have been done to prevent this massacre? In your mind, do you think there's a political answer that could keep this from happening again?
I don't know. The politics have been in play for this for a long time. I mean, we need a miracle. That's for sure.
And then I just scrolled past all the major news networks, and nobody's really covering this at all. It seems like there's just like a complete media blackout. Is it possible that the public's reached such a level of desensitization that they don't even care about such a catastrophic event?
It's on the surface, it appears that way, Mark. The media clearly is doing a blackout, but I think, I don't know if there's an audience for this anymore.
And then I'm guessing that a lot of our listeners are right now probably, you know, scrolling through Facebook, Drudge Report, Twitter, Fox, and seeing what they can find out about today's massacre. But it looks like we're one of the very few news outlets that's covering this. Have you been able to find any coverage on your end?
Absolutely zero.
And then I guess for the listeners who can't find any information about today's attacks, I'm just going to go over the headlines real quick. We've got 3,288 Americans that have been killed. These decentralized attacks have happened at facilities all across the country. And what's worse is that in every single case, the victims were children. And perhaps the most morbid fact about the killings is that they were sanctioned by the government, which means there's no manhunt going on right now. And nobody's looking for the assailants, and nobody's going to go to jail for this.
Right.
The best information I can find suggests that we're going to see another almost duplicate attack again tomorrow. Abortion mills across the nation will again kill more Americans than Sandy Hook, Orlando, Dallas, San Bernardino, 9/11, and the Boston bombing all combined. And again, there will be no media coverage. What does that say about our country?
It's almost, well, to kind of dovetail off that, it's worse than that. I mean, not only is this going to happen tomorrow, but it's going to be funded by you and me and all our tax dollars. And it's been going on for decades. And on top of that, you would think that this type of horrific evil activity could not get any worse, but it has. where we found that they're selling baby parts this past year, and it's still just a blip on the media's radar. And not to mention things like the Kermit Gosnell trial, which was just an absolute horrific thing that was completely blacked out by the media as well. So getting back to your point, what does it say about our country? I think, I don't know if it was Billy Graham or his wife that said, what was the phrase that he said, that if God doesn't judge America,
yeah,
judge the United States, he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology.
Yeah. And ancient Babylon was, they had very similar rituals. They had Molech, which was this giant, this owl god that they had, that he had these outstretched arms, and they would burn these fires, and they would place their children in the hands of Molech, to this burning statue, and it would burn the babies alive, basically. And Israel, ancient Israel, took on that practice, and that's one of the things that God judged the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel, sending the Assyrians into to attack the northern kingdom, and the Babylonians to overtake the southern kingdom, which are ironically geographically located in the same areas that ISIS is located in today, which is now coming against America.
Right. I don't believe in coincidences.
You mentioned the selling the body parts. No one went to prison for that. Nobody went to jail for that. But the Center for Medical Progress, that was the whistleblower for all of that, they were charged in, I think, California and Texas, that they had to defend their actions in multiple courts of law.
That's right. And the grand jury that was investigating Planned Parenthood is turned around and basically went after him. The guy's name is David DeLaden. And it's just horrifically ironic that happened.
And it's rare that you even hear – we've talked about what a complete media blackout for this. And how there's no coverage. And this is, you know, it's not a joke. This may sound a little War of the Worlds to people, that the approach that we've taken to talking about this today, but this is a real massacre. These are real people. These are actual murders. And this is more catastrophic than any of the things that get all the news coverage in the media. And we hear nothing about it. And we hear very, very little about it in our pulpits. So my question to you is, if you don't hear about these things in your pulpit, do you have some responsibility as a Christian to take part of your tithe that's going to this church that pays zero attention to this and send it to places like the Center for Medical Progress that are doing God's work in speaking up for those that have no voice of their own, as we're instructed to do in Proverbs, and judging for the fatherless, as we're instructed to do in Isaiah 1.
Yep, for the least of these, yes. Sure. I mean, obviously, if you're in a church that's not talking about this or taking a stand on it, you're not in a good church to begin with. But yes, this is something very near and dear to me. The dedication of my last book was to the unborn. One of my sub-themes in my last book was abortion, the right to life, and how precious every single life is. And this is something that's just, as a parent now, it's just so near and dear to me, and it just breaks my heart. And reading some of these articles, it's brought me to tears. Not only are we desensitized on one level, I've sent articles to people that are Christians, and their response to me is, I can't even open the article. I can't even read it. And it's like people want to be asleep. So either they're desensitized on one end, or they just don't want to know about it on the other end.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proven to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on gold and silver. Check out silver.com today. Ready Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at readymaderesources.com. There's a film that's called Sing a Little Louder, and it's about the trains full of Jews that would go past a church on the way to the Nazi death camps, and they would hear the screams of the Jews that were inside the cattle cars as they're going by in the train on the way to their death, and to drown out the sound of the cries as the people were going by the church on Sunday morning, the pastor would instruct the congregation to sing a little louder.
Oh my gosh, that's kind of a metaphor for today too, on some level. But I have not heard about that film.
Yeah, except for that, like we mentioned with 9/11, where, you know, it's horrible. You know, 3,000 people almost died in 9/11. But that many are killed a day here. The Nazi concentration camps, I believe, killed 6 million. And since Roe versus Wade, we're pushing 60 million. So 10 times, yeah. 10 Holocausts, as awful as the Holocaust was, we've done that 10 times over.
Right. And think about it. That's just in this country, Mark. Forget what they did in, you know, China with the forced abortion.
Right.
I mean, this number could be, it's probably in the hundreds of millions.
Yeah. And I think that one of the reasons that we don't hear about it much in the media is that these children don't have fathers or mothers who will miss them like the children from Sandy Hook had. But to me, the fact that they're unwanted, unloved, makes today's massacre that much more tragic. Would you agree?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's becoming so epidemic that there's new terms that are coming out called gendercide, which is in China, where an entire gender was being wiped out, the female gender, because everyone could only have one child, so they were selectively aborting kids just so they could all have boys. I mean, is it that pervasive?
Yeah, it's a wicked, wicked act. And in the 60s, we evicted God from the classroom. At that time,
right,
93% of Americans called themselves Christians. In the 70s,
right,
of course, that's when we legalized abortion. That's when 73 is when Roe versus Wade ruling was. The number of Christians was still near 90%. Today, still 70% of Americans consider themselves to be Christians, yet Christians are sued out of business or incarcerated for not participating in sodomite weddings. They're fired for praying. They're court-martialed for having an open Bible on their desk. And perverts are allowed to use the bathroom with our daughters. The math doesn't seem to line up with the facts. How is all of this possible with such a high percentage of people that call themselves Christians, and then we still have these wicked injustices that are on our law books?
I don't know. I think a lot of these people that claim to be Christians might be cultural Christians. Maybe they've never read the Bible, or they're not in a good church, or whoever is preaching to them is preaching false theology, because it's crystal clear. The Bible is absolutely crystal clear on these issues. That doesn't mean you have to go around waving your finger at people. You can speak the truth in love, but the truth is there. All you have to do is open the book.
So do you think there's a dereliction of duty on behalf of the pulpit?
I think on some level there's a dereliction of duty on behalf of the pulpit. I think there's an absolute wave of perverted churches in this country that claim to be Christian, that are preaching a false theology, a liberal theology. But I think even the conservative Orthodox churches kind of a lot of times they're probably sidestepping, don't want to touch on the hot topic. So maybe they relegate it to a Sunday school class rather than the pulpit. So I do think on some level there's a dereliction of duties.
And then I guess we have to take personal responsibility for it as well as congregants. You know, church is great for Sunday and Wednesday, but folks need to be in their Bible the rest of the week and paying attention to the headlines and being involved. Is that true?
Right. I think so. I definitely think so. I think there's a lot of part of the populace who think that they can check out of culture. They don't need to. Maybe they believe they're going to be raptured out of here next year or something like that, and they don't need to worry about it. But I think the Christians in the Middle East and Asia will tell them persecution is real and it's probably coming. So I don't know what people are thinking, why they can somehow justify not engaging the culture. It could also just be laziness. I mean, you have that whole bread and circus that goes back to Roman times where the government tries to keep us occupied with focusing on up here in New England, we're obsessed with deflated footballs and sports and other things that are just, you know, not important in the grand scheme of things.
One of the verses that we will hear a lot from the pulpit is Isaiah 1:18, and it's that, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And it's a beautiful verse. But what often gets left out is the verse that goes before that, which says, "Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed and judge the fatherless, plead for the widow." So there's this sort of, you know, a repentance is, I think that a lot of folks miss the fact that there needs to be a change of lifestyle, a change of the way you do business, a change of how you address your culture. It's not just this magic fairy dust that gets thrown on you. There's some expectation on your behavior when you take that repentance. Would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. 100%. And you can affect change with obviously your dollars. I mean, I try, and I'm kind of OCD about this, when I go out shopping, I try not to buy any product from any country that persecutes Christians, which is really hard to do. We must speak up, and we must speak with our dollars as well. I was just reading that Starbucks is going to support Hillary Clinton, and along with other things. I don't go to Starbucks anymore.
Yeah, you know, we completely pulled out of the stock market based on that. It's, you know, because we had a Roth IRA, and we would try to find funds that were, you know, somewhat pure socially. You know,
sure.
they weren't doing the wrong, involved in the wrong things. But the deeper you start to look in all of that, you know, Apple, Google, Home Depot, all of these places, almost every single one of the big banks, which are in just about any fund you find, and you know, and if you're gonna try to pick individual stocks, you're gonna be researching that all day, and that's gonna be your only job. So if you try to get in a fund, even these so-called Christian funds, they've all got these Apple and Google and all of these companies in there that have all of this diversity training, where you basically, as a Christian, you're taken into a room and said, you know, your Bible does not apply. Here's our moral code of ethics, and your Bible is wrong because ours is right. And if you want to choose your Bible over our code of ethics, then you need to go somewhere else.
Right. I know. It's everywhere. Wherever you go, your hands get dirty, it seems.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we talked about Isaiah 1:17, and it said, "Judge the fatherless." And that Hebrew word there for judge is mishpat, which has to do with justice. So it's seeking justice for the fatherless. And that's one of the – that's – and now this is right in this period where Isaiah's proclaiming to the Southern Kingdom that, you know, Babylon's going to come in and wipe you off the face of the earth, and you're going to be taken into captivity for 70 years. And that's in this period when they're, you know, they've taken on the culture of all the pagans around them, and you know, they're right. murdering children, and they're disregarding God and his laws and so on and so forth. And that's where this verse comes from. And so God's laid out his requirements for Israel in order for them to be reconciled to himself. So I can't think of a better example of fatherless children who need us to intervene in order for them to have justice than the folks that we've talked about that were killed in today's massacre.
Right. Clearly, what we as Christians, libertarians, conservatives have been doing for decades is not working. Something needs to change. I know Rand Paul has been trying to sponsor, get some bills sponsored at the Life Conception Act. That's the most I've seen a politician do in over a decade. Whether or not it gets traction, I don't know. For those of you who don't know about it, it basically will circumvent Roe v. Wade. Establishing life at conception, therefore, nullifies Roe v. Wade. But who knows if that will take off.
Yeah, and it grants them citizenship, basically, at conception.
Yes. Correct.
That's the end of the first half of my interview with John Theo. Tune in next week for the rest of the show. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com.
Get prepared before disaster strikes. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, tough strip bandages, and so much more. $99 includes shipping. Go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.